think I'm over you. You come and hit me up, chasing me like
they gonna see you.
I'm stalking social media. It seems like you only need me.
She texting me like, she deserves a response. She got a-
Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He is King at Jeromney. Tweet at one of us if you want us to watch your movie. It's going to be about a month from now. Who knows if we're even going to have a theme for it? We might just start the new year just rolling through normal movies. Who knows? We haven't even decided yet. But tweet your suggestions to us there. Join our Discord, Sports Brewery. You can also shoot us some suggestions in there. Watch us on Twitch every Thursday. Twitch.tv/ABROG87, ABRAWG87. Find those streams on YouTube. If you miss them, I post them on there. So you can watch them on there. I don't think there's anything else. So let's get into the movie. It is your movie this week. Comes from WCP541 in the Discord, and it is Christmas themed, the final movie of our Christmas month, and it is Scrooged. Came out in 1988, which kind of surprised me. I thought it was like early 90s or something. And then it's on Prime Video. It is our, I teased it on Thursday, it is our 100th movie that we have watched for this podcast. That's insane.
It's a lot of movies.
I remember like us sort of sitting there one night saying like, hey, do you guys just want to do like a movie podcast too? And you know, we're all sort of on board with the idea, but we were like, hey, so should we do like a separate day, a separate recording? And I was like, absolutely fucking not. So by the way, this is not actually being recorded on a Sunday. Did you need us to tell you
that? You broke the illusion.
Did you need me to tell you that? Yeah. I figure on the 100th episode, we should come clean, right? All right, going right back into the facade. Merry Christmas, everyone. Christmas is tomorrow. Happy Christmas Eve to all of you. Merry or whatever. So we bring you Scrooged, which is a movie about a complete asshole who becomes less of an asshole, I think we can say.
No. It's still Bill Murray, so he's still an asshole.
Always. Yeah.
Always.
Sort of always.
It's just.
Yeah.
Yes.
So 71% on Rotten Tomatoes. This movie, a 6.9 out of 10 on IMDb. Nice. And a 38 on Metacritic. 71 on Rotten, 38 on Metacritic. That's really big swing. Movie stars Bill Murray. As we said, he plays Frank Cross. Karen Allen of Indiana Jones fame as Claire Phillips. John Forsythe plays Lou Hayward. Bobcat Goldthwaite, Elliot Loudermilk. Carol Kane plays the ghost of Christmas Present. David Johansen plays the ghost of Christmas Past. And you remember when we talked about this before, he's the guy with the cigar. I remember when I was a kid and I was like terrified of this fucking movie and refused to watch it. He's watching this again. He's great.
Great. So David Johansen is fantastic.
Real quick, couple more people here, then we'll get to David Johansen. Also, Alfie Woodard, who plays Grace, and she is a big part of this movie, and she has gone on to be in a ton of things.
Might be the second biggest person out of this movie.
Really high profile things too. So she's big time. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead, David Johansen.
So he was in like a punk band in like the 70s and 80s called the New York Dolls, but he's also in one of my favorite movies, one of the most degenerate movies you can watch, called Let It Ride with Richard Dreyfuss. Watch that movie. It's fantastic.
I will not watch that movie, but thank you for
you
the
should.
Suggestion.
It's very good. But
Is Richard Dreyfuss the Mr. Holland's Opus guy?
Yeah, he's What About Bob?
What About Bob?
And Jaws, right?
Yeah.
And Jaws, yeah.
Okay, yes, right. Correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
You left out a pretty big name on the casting list.
Are you talking about the people who were in the play?
No, I am not.
Okay, go ahead.
Towards the end of the movie, he, I think it's with the Ghost of Christmas Present, they break into his like brother's Christmas party, right?
Yeah.
And
so his family, you mean?
Yeah, his family. Yes. Yeah. So yeah. There's a dog there, you know, the dog senses the spirits there, right?
Right.
That dog is the dog from Married with Children, Buck.
No fucking way. Superstar yeah. dog.
Superstar dog in this movie.
Nah, he's no Hooch.
Wow. He's way better than Hooch.
Nah.
Hooch is a fucking bum compared to Buck.
Hooch is a diva. I think if we remember anything from that movie, Hooch is a diva. Yeah.
Buck is for the people.
Like Hooch is trashing his dressing room, like slobbering all over everything. Hooch is a bad dog.
But I think I know where Buck was on January 6th. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he was very much dead, but if he was alive,
I was wondering which one of us was going to say it. I'm glad it was you.
Very much dead.
I thought you were going to say, like, the other people in Bill Murray's family who were in this movie.
All three of his brothers were in this movie.
Brian Doyle Murray played his dad. And then John and Joel were, like, I think John played his brother, his, like, brother in the movie. And then Joel was, like, one of the party guests.
At the party,
house. Yeah. So the entire Murray acting family. No, because isn't there another one, too?
I don't know if there's another Murray.
Okay, I might be making him up. But yeah,
thinking of the Farleys having a bunch of Farleys.
I am absolutely 1,000% thinking of the Farleys. Thank you. Yeah. You're totally right.
So,
yep.
So interesting thing of Bill Murray. So Bill Murray did Ghostbusters, right?
I was not aware of that.
Yeah. He took a 4-year hiatus, and this was his first movie off the hiatus. And apparently, from what I was reading, things did not go great on set with him. And you didn't get to the director yet, but Richard Donner is a big time director. I mean, Maverick.
Let me get to him and then talk about Maverick.
Maverick is so good.
I'm just saying, so good. I have not heard of it. That is a reference that will make me laugh every 10 years I hear.
Richard Donner is a huge director. Huge director. He did Goonies. He did The Omen. Yeah. He did Superman 1 and 2. The Lethal Weapon movies. His most recent movie was like 16 Blocks, which was Mos Def and Bruce Willis.
Did he do Bird on a Wire?
No.
Yeah, then I don't care.
He didn't do every Mel Gibson movie, but he did a lot.
If he didn't do Bird on a Wire, then I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I don't care.
What a standard.
He might have did Tequila Sunrise. Possibly. Possibly.
Let's see. Movie written by Mitch Glazer, who also wrote The Recruit and A Very Murray Christmas, as well as Michael O'Donoghue, who wrote on Saturday Night Live. So they both wrote it together. Richard Donner directed it. Budget $32 million. This movie made $100.3
million. I mean, it's a winner.
It's Dickens. It's Christmas Carol, and it's Bill Murray. Like, I get it. And apparently, after a 4-year hiatus, people really wanted to see Bill Murray again, and so they went out and saw it. So, okay, sorry, you were saying about Richard Donner.
No, also did the 1995 classic Assassins with Sly and Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas. I can't believe I didn't mention that movie. Isn't that weird?
I mean, you should have. So apparently, yeah, Murray on set, because you know Bill Murray, he's going to want to ad lib every fucking line he can. And he did, and that pissed Donner off. So, what I was reading, Bill Murray did not like this movie, how it was cut, because he said they cut all the funny things out that he said. And from watching this movie, it must have been way over the top, because what they have in the movie is a lot of classic over-the-top Bill Murray little snipes here. So I wonder what his cut he would have been in his eyes.
Especially like that whole last sequence where he's, you know, doing his big speech or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I imagine a lot of that is just Bill Murray sort of off the cuff. I mean, it had to fit within the plot of A Christmas Carol, So he had to deliver certain things within that structure. But yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But you could find some hidden gems that, you know, Bill Murray just came up with, the where he finds the dead guy frozen like underneath the grates in there. He says like, oh, what'd he say? Like, this looks like one of Trump's properties or something like that.
Yeah. Is it Trump Tower or whatever?
A Trump
going
Tower.
Uptown. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And then the other one I picked up was he threw a glass of water on the waiter because he thought, like, in his eyes, thought he was on fire. And his line was, oh, I thought it was Richard Pryor.
Yep.
Which is
That's
a little mean spirited to Richard Pryor.
But it's a great Richard Pryor would appreciate that line.
Great joke for 1988.
Yes. Perfect. So if you knew, Richard Pryor set himself on fire smoking crack.
Yes,
so,
he did. Yep. Almost died because he lit himself on fire smoking crack. Yep. And then did a classic stand-up set.
And then had a great set right after it.
Yes, he did.
A killer hour coming off
that. Yeah, kind of makes it all worthwhile, really, in the big picture.
Did Martin Lawrence have a big set off of his whole thing where he was like jogging, but he was like high on something and passed out, and they had to get like rushed to the hospital for like a heart attack almost?
Yeah, wasn't he was like high on something, but he was also wearing those like tight leather clothes that people run in, so they sweat a whole bunch.
Yeah, like the wrestler shit.
Yeah.
I don't remember if he ever, you know, rolled that into an hour. From that, like, prior,
I don't either. I think Martin Lawrence kind of stopped doing stand up when he got his TV show. I could be wrong about that, but yeah, because he used to host
got Bad Boys.
He used to host like the HBO things or something back in the day, right?
Like the Def Comedy
Jam. Def Comedy Jam. That was it. Yeah. Another Murray line that was probably ad libbed was when the Ghost of Christmas Present hit him in the face with a toaster. And then he gets up and says, "The bitch hit me with a toaster." That made me laugh too. And you know he made that one up. There's no way somebody wrote "the bitch hit me with a toaster." That's
no.
Yeah. Although if you do have like an SNL writer, like writing this movie too, he might have to. Like, who knows? But yeah. So this is A Christmas Carol. We've watched two Christmas Carol movies in a row. And so I will say, listener, the original suggestion we got from Kurt on Twitter was The Ref, and I really wanted to watch The Ref for this podcast, but it's not streaming anywhere. And so we did not necessarily plan to watch Christmas Carol twice in a row, but it's just sort of how it ended up working out. And I'll say I am glad I did. Because as I told you before, I only remember this movie from when I was a kid, and I remember being too afraid to actually watch it and being completely creeped out by David Johansen and having no interest for the last 40, like, no, not 40, like 30 or so years in watching this movie whatsoever, just because of that memory. I watched it and I enjoyed it. It's a great movie. It's a good version of Bill Murray, because you get like you get the full spectrum of Bill Murray, don't you? You get asshole Bill Murray, who is a bad guy, like he's a villain, and you get that version of him. But you also get like the nice version and the fun version and the funny one-liner version. And so it really is a perfect movie for him to be in. I enjoy it.
His hair, when they throw it back to when he was like, what was he, like an intern at the TV company there? His hair was fucking just out of control.
Yeah. Bill Murray has hair like I would have hair if I grew it out. It's like it's curly but like thinning. And so he has a lot of it, but he doesn't have a lot of it at the same time, if that makes sense. Yeah. That's what would happen to me, I'm pretty sure.
It was his hair from Kingpin, almost. Just without the extreme comb-over, is what it was.
I love the way this movie started.
Oh
my fantastic. God, it's beautiful. Like, the way... So, if you don't know, if you haven't watched this and you're just listening to us, Like Bill Murray's character is like the executive, like the president of a TV network.
He's the head of the network.
He's the less Moonves, just not as rapey.
Yes, 1,000%.
Not as.
Yes.
Well.
Debatable.
He's maybe a little rapey in there. Yeah. Well,
kind of debatable. Yeah.
Trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He did in that first like board meeting when they're going over the Christmas schedule. He does kind of feel up that blonde chick as he's exiting the meeting.
They never followed up with that, which I sort of appreciate that about this movie. That they, anyway. So he runs a network called IBC. So the movie starts with like a montage of programming that is being presented to him for like Christmas Eve, basically. And in that montage, there is The Night the Reindeer Died, which is a movie starring the Billion Dollar Man Lee Majors.
Lee Majors.
Where he parachutes into the North Pole and defends Santa, Mrs. Claus, and the elves with like a machine gun.
It is actually the machine gun that Jesse the Body Ventura used in Predator.
Is it the same one? They
pulled that off the wherever they had that from Predator, and that's what they used for Lee Majors in the 30-second little clip of it, which is if you've seen the American Dad episode where they fight Santa at the north or at like a cabin and stuff, it's pretty much that opening this movie up.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that reference.
The first thing I keyed in on, I was like, I've seen this before, just on American Dad, except for they're fighting with Santa instead of against Santa.
Absolutely incredible, because each one of the things in this montage could have been like its own individual thing.
So,
like,
do you think Ben Stiller picked this up for Tropic Thunder? Because that's how Tropic Thunder opens up, with the movie previews, fake movie previews. So
you're absolutely right. Yeah, maybe, probably. It's a fantastic way to start a movie. You're like, they hit you real hard with really good comedy right off the bat. Like, because in addition to that, you essentially have the Will Ferrell Saturday Night Live Bob Goulet skit, like with actual Bob Goulet, like he's on a fucking boat and he's sort of rowing down some water, singing a song, and it's Bob.
Was it
Goulet's,
Christmas in the Bayou?
No,
is that
it's
what it was?
Bob Goulet's old fashioned Cajun Christmas.
Cajun Christmas. Yeah. It was the same thing, other than just, you know, Will Ferrell be like, Goulet.
That's literally an SNL sketch, because Will Ferrell is like a pirate in one of those, I'm pretty sure. And it's the same fucking thing. Incredible.
That was the problematic time where Will Ferrell was dropping N-bombs on SNL.
That's true. Love it when you call me Big Papa. Call me Big. Yeah. No. Nope.
And he hits those. They hit him hard too.
Real
like
hard.
Boy.
Oh, yeah.
The times, man. The times.
It's a different time.
I don't know that it was like that.
It was 20 plus years ago. So yes.
I don't think it was okay for white people to say the N-word on TV.
it was still allowed in comedic fashions. Like, I mean.
Yeah, like no one's going to accuse him of being a racist.
No.
So I think that was like the last bastion of that being. Like, if Mark Wahlberg would have done that skit,
it
would not have gone over well.
I do remember, like, because when the Chappelle show was on, like, it sort of changed the narrative about how the N-word could be used on TV. Like, where if it's a comedic thing, then it got a pass. And then, as soon as his show went off the air, they're like, oh no, you can't do that shit anymore. Like, no. Yeah.
And then probably shouldn't let
you do it to begin with.
Yeah. And then Always Sunny and Tropic Thunder killed being able to do blackface for comedic purposes as well.
Yeah, Tropic Thunder's such a good movie. Man. Ugh.
Very, very good.
Yeah. Okay. So then
Do we have to do subtly not racist, but people say it's racist month so we can watch Thunder?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to. I probably dig up some other ones that are Blazing Saddles. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, that's an easy month. Like, we got that
Anything made in the 80s has a 50-50 chance.
I think we're set. We
gotta, fair enough.
We could do our movie list right now.
Yeah, it's too easy. You're right. Fish in a barrel.
Yeah, but it's gonna be fun. Yeah. And then the other one was like the Leave It to Beaver crew, and the show was called Father Loves Beaver.
Beaver, yeah.
And then, by the way, not to be lost in the mix, like, it did have a preview commercial for the actual live show that they were going to do of Scrooge. And that's when you're introduced to Buddy Hackett as, you know, Scrooge, Jamie Farr, and then Mary Lou Retton as Tiny Tim. Mary Lou Retton. So instead of, like, with a crutch and barely able to walk, Mary Lou Retton's, like, doing flips. God bless us, everyone.
God, Mary Lou Retton is one of those people that is definitely like a time capsule.
Yes.
Like, that is
when was her Olympics?
It's got to be like 84, something like that. Yeah.
I think it'd be 84 would have been.
Yeah, 84.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So she still would have been in the minds of people in a movie 4 years later with Olympics probably right around the corner again.
I bet you it tied into the other.
Yeah, probably
Scrooge / Olympic cups in McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
And they were made out of like fake glass. Oh my god, I miss those days.
They used some sort of chemical in the cups that gave you cancer.
Yes, and now they just have Grimace killing you.
Yeah,
happy birthday, Grimace.
They were far superior. Yeah, the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles, which was perfect. Yeah, yeah. That's so good. Let's see. The ghosts. We could talk about the ghosts. So we had Ghosts of Christmas Past, who was the David Johansen. And he essentially played a Jersey cab driver.
Straight New York cab driver.
Okay, fair enough. He mentioned Jersey a couple times, but...
Go back to Jersey.
He told him to go back to Jersey.
You're right. Fair enough. You know, you got me. So he played a cab driver who took him back in time and showed him his childhood and why he hates Christmas and all that shit. Also showed him when he fell in love with Karen Allen's character and had his first actual Christmas gift was getting the Kama Sutra from Karen Allen and, you know, all these fond memories, but then also how he slowly turned into an asshole and, you know, sort of alienated her.
As a very quick aside, was this movie Ghost and like Ghost Dad? Were they all with the classic Bill Cosby vehicle Ghost Dad? Were they all within like a 3 or 4 year period where this technology where you can make ghosts disappear into doors? Like, were they all on the same time?
Yes.
Like, you don't get ghost movies like this anymore.
They showed that off so much in this movie.
So much.
Like the one where he walked through the door, Bill Murray punches the door.
Yeah.
Classic.
So Ghost and Ghost Dad, both 1990 movies. So
two years for
all three movies there.
Okay. All right. I feel like that was very new technology.
And then we got then we really bumped it up to The Sixth Man, like,
yeah. Oh, I thought
mid to late 90s.
I thought you were just talking visual effects and you were going to say Kevin Bacon and Tremors, but...
Kelly Bacon and Hollow Man.
And Hollow Man.
Hollow Man, if that's who you're going to say too. Yep.
No, what was I going to say? What do you guys think Karen Allen? Do you go straight to Indy or do you go Sandlot?
Indy. I go Indy, but yeah. Sandlot's a second. Yeah.
A thousand percent Indy. Yeah. She's great in Indiana Jones. Yeah, her character's cool. So anyway, Ghost of Christmas Past, you know, sort of takes him back, makes him remember how he was a dick to people and why he is such a dick to people right now, where that sort of started from, you know, realized his dad was kind of an asshole. His dad played by his real life brother, Brian Doyle Murray. And his mom was like nice, but, you know, his family hated Christmas, and his dad used to say like, "Oh, you want a a rocking horse or whatever. Why don't you go out and get a job? Like, was his message. And threw 5 pounds of veal in front of him.
Isn't the whole thing like that? That was every parent in the 50s. Like, that's just how you were raised in the 50s, was that.
Yeah, get in the factory, kid. Then you can get some toys. How about that? Yeah.
It's like, here, take this pack of fucking smokes with you to the fucking cannery and get to work.
A cannery. I love that. I haven't heard the word cannery in a very long time. Right. Thank you for that.
Well, we're back in the 50s here, so we're canning a lot of things.
Peak 50s, yeah. We gotta can some pickles.
World War II just ended. We gotta get canning stuff. Come on.
Getting black. We have the Korean War ahead of us. Cannery.
Yeah. See, if they were in a different spot, they would have been sending them down to the mines, but they were in the city here, so you're going to the cannery.
Yeah, those soft city kids got to go can things.
Agri-pack softies.
Yeah. They got to can things and then box things up with asbestos. Yep. And it was fantastic. went back and he also showed him. So the time where he actually basically broke up with Karen Allen's character was when he was in the dog suit playing a character called Frisbee on the kids show and got asked to dinner by the executive who is basically trying to impress his entire career. And she, you know, they had plans to go have dinner with their friends because it was Christmas. And he's like, nope, I'm going to go have dinner with him instead. And if you don't want to come, then it means you don't support me and bye. So that was pretty much the moment when he became a prick. And it sort of, everything sort of spawned from there. But
that goes against me with just thinking Bill Murray, he's just always a prick. He just
when
starts
he became,
laying into it a little
when
harder.
He became Bill Murray. Yeah, he morphed into like full on Bill Murray. Exactly. Yeah. With, you know, less comedy. Did the, I guess I have a question. Which ghost is more creepy? Was it the Ghost of Christmas Past, the cab driver? Was it Ghost of Christmas Present, Carol Kane, who was like the fairy? Or was it Ghost of Christmas Future, which was like death, essentially?
If this movie wasn't made in 1988, it would be Ghost of Future. It just, they can't make that thing scary with the technology they have. I mean, you saw him open up the chest, and it was comical seeing the little creature people inside its ribcage, so...
I would argue Ghost of Christmas Present, the fairy. Like, I think that actress just naturally is kind of creepy. And so her dressed up as a fairy and doing her weird voice at him over and over again, it's just like, it gives you the heebie-jeebies, you know?
Funny thing is I said that she said that's her the worst role she's ever had. For having to hit Bill Murray over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean there was good slapstick from her character, like kicking him in the balls and hitting, like headbutting him, and you know, essentially just abusing him the whole time. That was good. Like, you know, Bill Murray being a dick to everybody the whole movie. It was nice to see him. Yeah,
she taught Boz Rutten everything he knows. If you remember that old video from Boz Rutten about throwing headbutts out and not just out of nowhere.
Yeah, I totally understand that reference. Yep.
I can watch a YouTube video every now and then, man.
YouTube, have you heard of it?
Yeah, come on.
We've talked about this many times on this podcast. I'm a YouTube premium guy, so back up off me.
I mean, you don't even have to watch fucking ads and you're still not watching.
Who is this person?
He's like a fighter from like in the 90s.
Okay. I can't believe I don't know who he is.
And, well, he's like an actor now, too. He's a bald guy from, like, Eastern Europe somewhere.
Oh, okay. All right. You're not helping me very much. I did like, by the way, so for the Christmas Future ghost, I liked how they did that. Because you had him all of a sudden show up and he's got this big hand going behind Bill Murray and he's like about to grab him. And then boom, Bobcat busts through the door with a shotgun. and like totally disheveled, disgruntled, angry Bobcat who had all he wanted to do the whole movie after being fired by Frank Cross at the beginning was to just drink an entire bottle of alcohol and drink his sorrows, but it kept getting taken from him, what? Knocked out of his hand, like over and over again. And he finally snapped and got the shotgun.
How big of a bitch is his wife that under 24 hours of him getting fired instantly leaves him and takes his child? Not yeah. Like, hey, I can find another job. I was a high level executive at a big company. I could probably find another job here real quick. She's like, nope, gone. Yeah. Dunzo.
Yeah. You're not going to be able to provide for me right this very second. Then I am leaving and I'm taking the kid with me. Yeah.
Is Bobcat still alive?
Yeah. He is. He's only 61.
Really?
Just because I'm doing it. I'm literally doing it right now.
Yeah.
Google Bobcat Goldthwait and just go to images. Man, his looks very like, wow. I mean, I kind of knew it, but I haven't seen him in a while. It's weird to see his shit from the 80s and then see him like full Santa Claus beard and bald. And
yeah,
it's quite the ride.
He's a director now. Like he directs a lot of like indie-ish movies now.
He looks like he was a musician during the 80s. And that's a transition musicians turn to later in life. Is that look? Little hat, little fedora kind of hat.
He
glasses.
Has,
he looked like Flock of Seagulls type guy.
No, I was going to say Counting Crows.
That's not 80s,
say.
Bro. That's late 90s, bro. Jesus.
Look at him. Jesus. He's got Counting Crows vibes.
Man. This guy wants to build paradise and clear out a parking lot. It's just incredible.
If I could afford to build paradise and put up a parking lot, I would fucking be there in a second, man. You know how much money I could make charging people to park in my parking lot?
Can I say something?
No.
Aside.
No.
Last Friday, I went to Tracktown Pizza.
I guess my opinion doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. And their lot, as we all know, is like the smallest thing on earth. Okay, so it was full. So I went to park in the lot behind it.
Which place was this?
Tracktown Pizza.
Okay, gotcha.
The least amount of time and money was 15 hours and 30 bucks as the minimum. Behind Tracktown fucking Pizza. 15 hours and $30. As the minimum.
Did you pay it?
No! I drove around. I parked like 5 minutes away and walked and cut through the motels. Like, I'm not paying 15 bucks.
It would have been cheaper just to get a parking ticket in there.
100%.
Yeah.
$20.
Sorry for that little.
No, I think it's because of the hotels, right? I think they expect people parking back there to be at the hotel.
Probably so,
right?
But I was. Yeah. But it even said Tracktown lot. That's what pissed me off.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
You need to have a conversation with management.
Oh, I'm sure they'd listen.
Karen that shit.
We are the fifth biggest podcast in Lane County, so maybe they would.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Jesus. We're trying to help people out here.
January 6th podcast. We got to throw that weight around a little bit, guys. That's all I'm saying. We have influence. all right, let's grade this movie. This thing we've been flying along. Do you have anything you want to talk about before we grade this movie?
It's a classic movie poster.
Yeah, it really is. Absolutely perfect movie poster. We didn't even mention like Calvin, like the kid of Grace, who like that was like a through line for the whole movie, was him not being able to talk, and then he finally says, "God bless us, everyone," at the end. And yeah.
But also movie posters, that era.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
You think those are gonna come back around like all fashion and trends?
No.
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 You just buy it as an NFT, right? And now you own it.
100%.
Blockchain. Blockchain that bitch.
Yep. Get on the blockchain.
Is it ETH or do you say ETH? I honestly don't know.
I don't know. I don't even know what you're saying.
.eth. .eth.
Bill Murray, by the way, Bill Murray during the credits telling the theater audience to sing along and like directing them as if it were a concert or something like that. Only time I've ever seen that, I think. That was kind of cool. I wonder if that was one
cutting
of the
edge.
Ones,
cutting
one
edge
of the ones
shit
that,
in this movie.
One of the ones that Donner let him have or something. All right, man. Just fucking leave me alone for the whole movie, but yeah, I'll give you this. Okay, but by the way, we have like no time left. We got to grade this thing. So it's a listener movie.
What's it out of this week?
Let's go five.
Five, okay.
We're going to go five. Who wants to start?
I'll go. Solid Christmas movie, 3.75.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Solid Christmas movie.
It's an 80s movie. I'm obviously
I think coming on the heels of Muppet Christmas Carol probably brings it down a little bit for me, I think. But I did like it a lot more than I thought I would. So 3.5, I'll say.
3.8.
Point eight,
Mr. One Upman over here. That's
yeah, right. we kind of made it hard to split the difference with this one too.
Yeah,
we actually have to do some like math on that one, and yeah, sorry about that.
3.65.
Yeah. Whoa, got fucking Harvard genius over here. Yeah. Whoa, Mr. King of numbers. Whoa,
how do you like dem apples over here, kind of guy? Jesus.
Oh, this guy's moving decimals over here.
Don't check me on that one.
any other New York guy things before we want to go? Merry Christmas, everybody. How about that?
Go back to fucking Jersey.